Hello, and welcome to Advisory Explained. I'm your host, Kwesi Kretzinger. Join me in this series, this podcast where we discuss the complex world of advisory. We dive deep into very specific topics in the world of mergers and acquisitions, due diligence, tax, fiduciary services, and so much more, where we take complex topics and we break them down into smaller, bite-sized, palatable portions for you to understand and to understand where we can assist you. Welcome back to another episode of Advisory Explained. Today, we've got a special guest, Irma Lategan, joining us here in the studio. She is a specialist part of Investec's tax and fiduciary team. We're going to have a few interesting topics we're going to discuss today, one of which is exchange control. Irma, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Would you mind just introducing yourself and just chat a little bit about what you and your team at Investec are currently up to?
Thanks, Kwesi, and thank you for inviting me. I feel privileged. So I've been part of the tax and fiduciary team at Investec for about a year now. Before then, I've worked with some of the big four, etc. So I'm in this business for about two decades almost. I'm feeling old.
Not at all.
So tax and fiduciary at Investec was started about 8 years ago when Investec realized that the world was becoming a lot smaller. Mm. People are moving out of South Africa and moving into South Africa, and the tax and exchange control residency plays a big role in that, especially the tax residency. Yeah. Where you are tax resident determines where you will basically pay most of your taxes. And you need to manage that and navigate that field. So that's when we came in at 8 years ago, and we specialize in working with the ultra-high net worth individuals at Investec. So you need to be an Investec client to have access to us.
Yeah.
And then we can help you with your planning and your structuring and your tax affairs.
Absolutely. That is absolutely fantastic. I've had the privilege of working with you on one or two matters. And I must say, we as a firm at Baker Tilly Greenwich, we really enjoy working with Investec. It's also why we try and promote most of our clients that can afford it to get to the large high net worth part of your team. Yeah. So I think you mentioned very specifically residency. And that is what today is all about, is residency 101. And I think a lot of people miss the concept on different types of residency. So you get tax residency, you get Reserve Bank residency, and then you get citizenship. And I think for most of our viewers, they have some idea of what these three are, but can you explain to us high level the three differences between them essentially?
Sure. So all three of those concepts are completely different and separate from each other. Tax residency is where you will pay most of your taxes, and you can normally only be tax resident in one country. So tax residency is determined by looking at our Income Tax Act and seeing if you qualify under the statutory rules in the Income Tax Act. So that's the one. Exchange control residency is determined by the exchange control regulations, obviously, and that's different from tax residency. Well, it was different up to, I think, to 2021, where it was completely separate, but the exchange control and SARS are merging the concepts a little bit, but I'll explain later. And then citizenship is a completely different thing. Mm. It has nothing to do with exchange control residency and tax residency, and it is your home affairs status. So it's whether you have a passport in South Africa.
So essentially, you're telling me that I can be a Belgium national, i.e. a Belgium citizen, be a South African tax resident and live in South Africa, but not be a Reserve Bank resident of South Africa?
Well, it's more complicated than that.
Okay.
You become an exchange control resident when you are a permanent resident in South Africa. Mm-hmm. if you were born in Belgium, for instance, and you moved to South Africa for the first time, you can become tax resident in South Africa if you trigger one of the two tests in the Income Tax Act.
Mm.
But you will only become exchange control resident in South Africa if you receive permanent residency, the permit to stay in South Africa. So that's the difference.
Okay, fantastic. And then just for the viewers, high level, the two tests for residency in South Africa, that's basically your time and your where you actually live.
Yes.
If you want to quickly touch on that.
So the first rule, and that's the primary test, is your ordinary residency test. That is basically where you live and where your permanent home is.
Almost where your toothbrush is.
Toothbrush, well, the court cases refer to your pipe and slippers.
Okay.
And we like to refer to our female clients where your handbag and lipsticks are kept. So that's basically where your real home is.
Yeah.
It's not defined in the Act, but there is a interpretation note that SARS issued, and they look at specific factors and more. It's not a complete full list. So they look at, for instance, they can look at your Facebook status. So where do you see yourself as living on Facebook? So I live in Belgium. This is my home. Then that could play a role. Your nationality, where your center of vital interest, basically. So that's your ordinary residency test. Then if you are not ordinary resident in South Africa, you can still qualify as a tax resident in terms of the physical presence test. That's the DAZE test.
Yeah,
that is a six-year time test. They look at the current year, how many days you've spent in South Africa in the current tax year. If that is 91 days or more, then they look at the previous 5 years. Have you spent 91 days or more in South Africa during each of the previous 5 years? And then the final one is the one that trips up most people, is you need to be in South Africa cumulatively for 915 days over the previous 5 years. So if you take the 915 days and you divide it by five, that equates to about 6 months a year. So if you don't spend about 6 months a year in South Africa over a five-year period, then chances are you won't make the physical presence test. But as I said, that's the secondary test.
Yeah. Well, that jumps also very nicely into a very high topic for a lot of people, and that's where the further test actually then also comes in terms of double tax agreements, DTAs. Do you want to quickly jump in on what is a DTA, where it's prevalent, especially on residency?
Double tax agreements are entered into between tax authorities of different countries. So the South African authorities would, for instance, enter into a double tax agreement with Mauritius, with the Mauritian authorities. And they would set out rules of where income and gain are taxed. When, for instance, a South African earns income in Mauritius, where would that income be taxed, etc.? But one of the main articles in double tax agreements are basically the residency article. And it states, it has a tiebreaker provision in. So it looks at certain things like where is your primary home, where is your habitual abode, where is your center of vital interest. So there's a list of items that they go through in the double tax agreement to determine where your real tax residence is. So if you spend time in two countries then and you qualify in both countries as a tax resident in terms of the local rules, then the double tax agreement would kick in and you would look at the tiebreaker provision to see where you are really tax resident.
Yeah. Okay, that's fascinating. If we then jump one step back, right, and I say me as a South African born, South African national, South African tax and South African Reserve Bank citizen, if you want to call it. And
Do you have a passport?
It's only a South African one, unfortunately.
Okay.
I earn interest income, for argument's sake, in the UK. Do I have to pay tax in South Africa on that interest income that me as an individual earn on my investment or whatever in the UK?
If you're a tax resident in South Africa, so if you qualify under the statutory rules or under the double tax agreement as a South African tax resident, then you pay tax on your worldwide income and gain.
Yeah.
So even if you earn income in the UK and it's paid into your UK bank account, you are still a South African tax resident, so you have to declare that to SARS.
Yeah.
So basically the first answer is yes. But then you can, again, look at the double tax agreement. What does it say? Because it's sourced in the UK, then the UK would most likely say, we want
a portion,
a cut of that. So they want to tax that income as well. So then you look at the double tax agreement, and that would say which country has sole taxing rights. And if both countries have taxing rights, then South Africa has internal laws and credits that you can claim, because you've also paid tax in a different country.
And that's where it almost comes into play, where you can then be a tax resident in more than one country. However, the DTAs assist in conjunction with credits like Six Squat, for argument's sake, so that I don't pay tax in two countries, right?
Yes, that would be exactly it, yeah. So you look at the double tax agreement and then at our local tax credits afforded to South African tax residents. So only South African tax residents can make use of the credits that's afforded in the Income Tax Act, because obviously the Income Tax Act does not state how foreigners can use the South African laws.
Okay. Would you mind touching a little bit on Section 6 Squat?
Six Squat is a credit that you can claim for foreign taxes paid. So there's two parts in Six Squat. It depends on where the source of the income is. Was it sourced in South Africa and a foreign country tries to tax it? Was it sourced in a foreign country and the foreign country tries to tax it? So there's different ways. There's a credit or there's a deduction method. And then you can basically get a little bit off from your South African taxes because of the tax that the foreign country imposed on you.
So basically it's like getting discount in South Africa because I already paid the tax in the UK.
That's exactly it.
Okay, fantastic. And well, before we wrap up this episode, in terms of your opinion, your experience, three key takeaways, especially on residency for South African individuals, but more relating to people that might be caught in the South African tax net, what are some of the key takeaways that you would recommend to them to think about based on the residency and exchange control that we've just discussed?
When becoming South African resident or leaving South Africa, it's very important to plan around it. So what we haven't touched on is exit tax.
Yeah.
So when people leave South Africa, then there is an exit tax on their worldwide asset base, except for South African fixed property, meaning that they have a capital gains tax charge on their worldwide assets on the day before they leave permanently, before they cease their tax residency. When people become South African tax resident, they also get a step up in their base cost of their worldwide assets. So basically, planning is super important, and you can manipulate it sort of to suit your timing on exit tax, what's the value of your assets at certain times. So when you exit, that's when you pay your capital gains tax on the gain of all of your assets. So planning is very, very important, I would say. That's maybe a topic on its own.
Absolutely. I think we should definitely do a specific episode just on exit tax, because it's such a timely exercise, especially for people in our industry, professionals in the finance world. We, especially out of South Africa, are almost getting headhunted from all over the world to go and work in Dubai, go and work in the Netherlands, for argument's sake. That's the new hub for all the chartered accountants in South Africa. So there's if you exit the country and you don't necessarily plan to come back, then there's the exit charge. Correct. And I think that's definitely a topic that we need to discuss in a separate episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
And then just the final thought, I think, would be that tax residency is not straightforward. Each country have their own rules. on how you become tax resident there. So as soon as you spend time in a different country, you buy a home in a different country, a holiday home even, you need to get tax advice to just to make sure that you don't trigger that residency rules and then start paying tax in two countries because it could be very administratively burdensome to sort that out
Absolutely.
At the end of the day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Irma. That was absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap. Thank you very much for joining us today on this episode, Residency 101, that we discussed here on Advisory Explained. See you next time.